Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. Tonight, we have a special guest. Everyone sit back and enjoy, because you know what? You know what day it is? It's Monday. That means it's Manic Monday, and that means it's time for...
Just another manic Monday. Wish it was Sunday. That's my fun day. I don't have to run there. Just another manic Monday. Hey, hey. Wish it was Sunday. That's my fun day. Just another manic Monday.
Hello, everyone, and everyone that's in the chat room, everyone that's listening somewhere else on the internet, welcome to Manic Monday.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. Oh, please don't take my sunshine away.
Welcome, Manic Monday fans. Welcome, Survivor fans. Today is February 3rd, 2014, and I'm so happy you all are with us today. My name is Cherry Garcia. I'll be your co-host tonight. Paul from Minnesota, who is normally with me, will not be here tonight. He is taking his parents to Rochester Mayo for a doctor's appointment, and he will return next week. But as always, the star of our show, Manic Monday Show, is always our Portuguese princess, Michelle Costa, from Big Brother 10. And as usual, Michelle has an awesome show planned for everyone tonight with a very special guest from Survivor Samoa and Survivor Blood vs. Water. We all cheered on the Moret girls in Blood vs. Water, and now we're finally going to have a chance to talk to Laura Moret, also known as Laura M., and I couldn't be more excited to have her on tonight. She's so special, and I'm so excited to have the chance to talk with her. So I'm going to bring up the star of our show, the sunshine of our Manic Mondays, and say thank you once again for getting us such a wonderful guest. How are you doing tonight, Michelle?
Well, hello, post-Super Bowl disaster. Happy Manic Mondays. Hey, you know what? Mondays are normally not so good of a day because it's like the start of the week, but I also say, hey, it's Manic Monday night. But what got me through was obviously thinking about Laura Moret and Manic Monday and about you, Cherry Pie, and all you chatters out there in the chat land and listeners. But, oh, God. Oh, goodness gracious. Did Peyton do it again? Did he put the leather football in his mouth and choke Cherry?
I know it.
I mean, it was meant to be because, like, he had broken all these records, right? And then the first play of the Super Bowl, there's a safety, which I know somebody who put a $10 bet on it in Vegas and won $600,000.
Wow.
Because they said the first play was going to be a safety. So, thank you. But, so, once we thought that Peyton Manning couldn't get another historic moment record in NFL, it was being scored on the quickest in Super Bowl history.
Wow.
The revenge is sweet. And Wes Welker, did you really think? We love you, but did you really think we wanted you to get another Super Bowl ring without us? I don't think so. Now reap what you sow, Wes Welker. I think Wes Welker
tell him,
was
Michelle.
The demise of us and of the Denver Broncos because he was the key in both. Greedy bastard.
There you go. You tell him, Michelle.
But I would say the commercials are okay. What did you think about the commercials? Anything stick out in your head?
Love, 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 love the Budweiser commercial with the little dog and the horse. OMG. Golden Lab or Golden Retriever and the Clydesdale. Love that commercial. Love it. The one with they need to be friends. Oh, my gosh, I love that commercial.
Yeah, I mean, that was such a cute one. How did you not love it? And then we have, like, controversial Coca-Cola where there's, like, Twitter war and networking war going on about not wanting to drink Coca-Cola anymore. I'm sorry, but Pepsi sucks. I'm all about you, Coca-Cola. Woohoo! But did you hear about that? I mean, there's, like, a lot of Coca-Cola haters right now. I don't know why.
I didn't hear that one, but I did hear that there's controversy over, I think it was Audi, because Audi didn't show any, or no, it was Volkswagen, because they didn't show any female, when they showed the mechanics, like, getting their wings, they didn't have any female mechanics or anything in the commercial getting their wings.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Did you see that commercial?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? It could have been
every
a time,
time a
that I slipped away. I don't.
100, every
yeah,
time
I
a
don't
Volkswagen
know.
Hit 100,000 miles, a mechanic got their wings, and or a, one of the production people on the line at the plant got their wings, and they showed them, you know, like wings popping out on people that
I
worked at the
missed
plant.
I might have missed that one. Yeah,
and there was no female workers there getting their wings. And so there was a big controversy over there not being any females in the line.
I guess there's always controversy, isn't there, Terry? I mean,
I guess
there's somebody that disliked it. But I have to think that everybody has to be in agreement with how amazing Bruno Mars and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I mean, he rocked it. Bruno Mars rocked it. And then you put a sprinkle of Red Hot Chili Peppers on top?
I'm here to tell you. And you know what, Michelle? I heard, and you know, they were up there singing with their shirts off. And they announced that it was like 56 degrees there at kickoff time. It was like 11 here in St. Louis, Missouri. Something is wrong when it's 56 degrees in New Jersey. And it's 11 in St. Louis.
I don't think it was 56 degrees because I'm near the climate of New York and New Jersey. I mean, we're pretty much similar. And I have to say, yeah, it was a heat wave. They were probably in their 40s or something. 56, no way. And then when the Red Hot Chili Peppers played, definitely it was not what the projected or what the first temperature reading was, because that was during halftime. That was like 9 o'clock at night, and we all know that it gets colder. It doesn't get warmer in the winter.
Right. But it was still so much warmer there. I don't know. They said on our news that it was like 56 at kickoff time. Now, that could be incorrect, but that's what they said. But it was still so much warmer there than it was here. And I was just
Cherry.
Something wrong with
Cherry,
this picture.
Think about tropical.
I'm ready for
trees
spring, Michelle.
And tropical waters that are blue because the ocean's blue anyway, but really in the tropics it's blue. And
I'm so ready for spring.
Think about a drink with an umbrella in it, whatever your drink of preference is, with maybe a little sand in your crotch. Doesn't that sound so good right now? Not only is it good exfoliant, but it sounds so good right now. Do not use it while you're using Bare Ease, by the way. Do not get sand in the crotch.
I have my Bare Ease.
Oh, boy.
I'm ready.
I have it. It's still in the box. I haven't opened it yet.
Me too. I'm ready, though. I'm waiting for spring. I'm waiting for that moment when it's time.
To make that bulb, that flower blossom and bloom.
I am just
we're ready
so
to
ready
let it bloom.
Oh, God. I tell you what, I'm so ready for this damn weather to go away.
Well, me and Cherry talked about this beforehand, but you guys, we're bracing ourselves for three snowstorms. I was told today it was a dusting. Well, 7 inches later, the dusting doesn't seem to have become a dusting. It seemed to become a multiple dusting.
You got some big dust bunnies up there, Michelle.
That's a big dust bunny. Big-ass dust bunny. And then me and Cherry are going to be getting a snowstorm. We're going to be calling it a nor'easter on Tuesday to Wednesday, and then Friday and Saturday. So we're going to be just little snow bunnies. And don't be jealous out there. If you're living in a warm climate, you wish. Make snow angels.
I don't think anybody
and icicles coming out of your nose. Icicle coming out of your nose, that's like scientific shit. All right? That's like good stuff. But on a different note, I just want to throw in there, and I will be throwing this in for the rest of the night. And listen up, you guys out there. You want to save a life with $1, $2, $5, whatever. Save a few lives. Think about the fact that insurance doesn't cover mammograms for anybody under 40. Not just women, men too, you guys out there. Men can get breast cancer. So you guys know Reality Rally is coming up, but the deadline is also coming up for the donations. And that will be February 15th, and which that means now. You guys, $400 is the donated requested goal amount, which we can go over. We can help save more than one life. But to be involved in saving one person's life, a mammogram costs $400. So you guys need to go on to Reality Rally under my name, and please make sure you donate under my name. Maybe put your story of what you've experienced in life, because we've all experienced cancer of some sort of nature.
Chi-Town Joe just put it in the chat room that today is National Cancer Day. So today would be a perfect day for you to go out and click on the link to donate to Michelle Costa.
You can go on my
Michelle's
Facebook.
Place.
You can go on my Twitter. It's up there. If Chi-Town Joe has a few minutes or face one, put it up there. That would be fantastic. But, yeah, today's a great day. I mean, like I said, it's National Cancer Day. There's no word before cancer. Let's just drop it, because we know there's colon cancer, pancreatic cancer. There's testicular cancer. There's breast cancer. There's lung cancer. There's throat cancer. There's every kind of cancer you can think of, ovarian cancer. So there's somebody that you know out there, and this is going to help possibly save somebody. I know you guys remember back when, maybe about a month ago, there was I'm sorry, but I don't know her first name, and I think she was on Good Morning America, and they were doing a breast cancer, they were doing a mammogram, and the other two people that were women that were on the panel had either, one of them has breast cancer, and the other one was over the limit. You know, like the age, so she had already gotten it. And this newscaster was under the age. I think she was 39 or 40. So she ends up getting it done on live TV on Good Morning America, right? And guess what? She's got cancer, breast cancer.
Wow.
And she ends up getting a mastectomy, double. And now she's, you know, fighting, and she says, you know, I would have never thought because of my age. And Michelle's Place comes down to a 19-year-old girl who had a lump. When they got it checked, the doctor was like, you know, you're young, whatever, and she died at the age of 22, 23. If you go on to the actual link that takes you to get to me to donate, there's a video, and the video involves the father and the mother and the family and all the different stuff that they do. And this is not just a regular charity. I mean, we're going to the facility. We're seeing the wig room. We're seeing the library room. We're seeing the physical therapy room. We're seeing the family, you know, psychiatric, you know, room where they can get together and talk over their problems and issues. This is a facility. And like I said, this money is going to a mammogram for a man or a woman. $400, you guys. And you know as well as I know, I had a lump in my breast that I found, and they were like, well, we can do a biopsy. We can do where we can remove it. The biopsy was $400, the where they would see if it was malignant or if it was cancer, or $1,000 where they would actually take it out, and there's no worries. Do you know I didn't do either of them because I couldn't afford it? It ended up being an inflamed milk duct. But that's what they said. But I can't afford that. I couldn't even afford the biopsy to find out, you know?
That's
so
really scary, Michelle.
It is. And breast cancer runs in my family, not within one or two generations, but family back in Fayal, where my mom's from, I just lost a cousin a few months ago for breast cancer. She was 39. So it's
wow,
it's
so young. And, you know,
yeah,
Michelle, who they named Michelle after, Michelle's Place after, was only like 29, I believe, when she passed.
No, she was actually like 23.
I thought she was 23 when she found it, and 29, I don't know. Anyway, the
well, you
story
know what? That's
is all
way
there
too
when
young.
You go.
It's way too young. Either way, it's way too young whether you're 19 or whether you're 67, you know, being able to take a test to catch it in advance. That's the key.
Right.
Right, Jerry?
Exactly. And like you said, they don't just assist with the mammogram. They assist with all aspects of, you know, dealing with it from beginning to end, whether it be to get you to a doctor's appointment with the wig, with the emotional aspect of it if you need you know, to talk to somebody. They deal with all aspects of it, not just getting you to the mammogram. They take you step by step and hold your hand through the entire process, and that means so much. And they help the family. It's not just you dealing with it. They help the family that's dealing with it, too, because if you have it, the whole family deals with it. And it's a family
absolutely
issue.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so they help the entire family learn how to deal with this and how to help you while you're going through it and how they should you know, better deal with it and how, you know, they go through issues, too. They get scared, too. And so if there's kids, they offer them counseling. And, you know, there's all kinds of different things that this organization offers. It's not just that one mammogram they offer. It's everything. It's so many things. And it's just such a wonderful organization that they hold so many people's hands through the entire process. And so there just couldn't be a better organization to donate to for
absolutely
breast cancer,
Jerry.
And I'm so proud that Jillian found this particular organization to team up with and donate to. It's just one of the most beautiful organizations I've ever seen. And if you could click on the link, I put it in the chat room. It's also, as Michelle said, on her Twitter, on her Facebook page. Click on that and go make a donation. If it's just a couple of bucks, $5, $10, whatever you can donate.
Every you know, like I said, Jerry, $1,
helps.
$2, $5, $500,000, whatever you're feeling. Like, people think, like, oh, my God, only a dollar. But how many times have we said this? Oh, my God. if I got just a dollar from everybody on my Facebook friend list, not even my Twitter, I would have $16,000, you guys.
That would be amazing.
A dollar. Listen,
$1.
$1. So when you say, oh, I'm embarrassed and I'm a dollar, whatever, first off, you can be anonymous. Second off, you can put your name and you can put your story and let people hear you and see how that other people can be involved. And you could be like that, you know, like that domino effect where it takes one person to do that. And so I'm just saying that don't be embarrassed about the $1, you guys.
That's right.
I mean, like I said, can you imagine $16,000, Cherry? Ugh.
That would be so incredible for them.
I know.
So incredible. And
so
it could save
exactly
lives.
Like,
I mean, when Jillian was on a week or so ago, she talked about how many people they got through from the donations that they made last year and how many of them actually had to go back for biopsies. And they don't know how many of those from that had to go back for biopsies that they actually found something. But from those, you know, 8 people had to go back for biopsies. And, that could mean that out of those 8 people from that had to go back for biopsies, we don't know how many of those they could have saved lives.
Yeah.
And
you know what the funny thing is that Jillian actually left the show last week and went and donated on my page for her event. And she donated $5, you guys. $5.
That's amazing. I mean,
so,
she...
once again, if everybody donated $5 in my page, what?
I know.
Mean,
that would...
That would be...
That could probably open a new wing for them, you know?
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's not about the dollar value. It's about... thinking about, do you know somebody? Think about yourself. Think about your neighbor. Think about just doing something, you know, maybe your New Year's resolution isn't going right with not eating the cookies or the cookie dough. I get it. I want to eat the cookie dough too. So let me give a dollar every time I eat a cookie dough ball to charity. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's something like do your own. It doesn't, you don't have to. You can kind of make your own way.
Your own rules.
You know,
set your own rules.
You can, you can maybe do your own collecting of money with maybe you have a yoga class and you tell everybody, hey, listen, you know, I know somebody that's doing this. Can everybody give $5? And then she contributes that. Like, start your own revolution. It's in your hands. You can do anything you want. Right?
That's right. I'm going to bring up somebody that I know has had this touch his life. Mr. Chi-Town Joe is on with us.
Oh.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? Hi, Michelle.
Hi, my love.
Watch your...
How is it in the Windy City, my babe?
The city has put up officially warnings about the weather, so it's going to get...
Yeah.
We are supposed to hit 47 below zero on Thursday.
Oh, my God.
But everything we get comes to you, so.
I know. So I'm getting it. I'm bracing myself.
Yeah. So anyways, I just posted your link on my page, and let's see what happens there. And then I'll put it on my Chi-Town Live page, too.
Now, Joe, do you have a... You know, I know you posted today, it's National Cancer Day. Do you want to, like, maybe just throw in on what me and Cherry have been talking about? Because I'm sure you've had some dealings with, you know, this word cancer.
Yeah, my dad died of it from colon cancer. And my dad was a boxer. And he was a big guy. And Golden Gloves man, a winner. I was with him when he was losing weight, and I kept on saying, Dad, you got to go to the hospital, because he didn't want to go. You know, most men don't. And he had tests done. We were in the emergency room, and they came in and told us both that he had colon cancer. He had not much more time to live, as they say, get your affairs together.
Well, how old was he, Joe?
I would say he died the day before he was going to get his first Social Security check. And the same thing happened to his dad. So it was the day before his 65th birthday.
Wow.
And I was in bed with him when he died. I had to get my sister out of the room because she punched out the doctor.
And now, did he ever get tested for colon cancer? I mean, we all know that now it's a huge thing, especially with Katie Couric. We all know that how that started. So he didn't get the colonoscopy that they do.
No, and I'm still waiting for that, too, because of my other illnesses. It's hard to put me on the table and sedate me anymore. But he didn't have it done until, you know, that time when I forced him into the hospital. And he only lived, I think, a month. And, you know, because back then the guys didn't want to do it. And like you have said before and as Jillian has said, it's not just women anymore. It's men that Michelle's Place takes care of also. So it's very important that everybody, like you say, if it's a dollar or if it's $2, go to your website or go to your Twitter feed. You can find it on my page under Chi-Town Joe. Post. It's so important. And especially on this day, what they're going to do today is for $25, I think, for Temecula, if you do it today and send in that money, they will send you back the book that you guys get, the reality book for Temecula.
Yes.
And everybody will be signing that book for $25. So, I mean, you know, unless you bet all your money on the Broncos, you have no excuse.
I got to find that guy that won that $600,000. I can see if I can hit him up for a couple bucks.
Yeah, you might as well. And I lost my sister, too, 2 years ago to cancer. And I always get relief for clumped because she died on January 16th, and that's when my mom went in the hospital. She's doing pretty good right now.
Yeah, how is your mom doing? Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, she's out of intensive care for cardiac, and she's got more stents in her now. So we're working on some other things like breathing and walking, and we want to get her the hell out of there. So I was just there today, and we had a little bit of a warming streak here. It was 20 degrees, but she's doing fine, and she says hi to everybody, you know, because I told her when
you
I wrote
her we said hi.
Yeah, I told her everybody. I says you should be trending on Twitter right now, Mom. You know, she couldn't believe it that everybody prayed for her on that day. And that would got her through, I think, you know.
Yeah.
So
this part gets her through.
Yeah, and when all of us get together and pray for somebody, nobody's going to stop us. And it's just, I just worry all the time about people, you know. So I think I have to do it soon because, you know, once you pass 50, you got to do it. So,
well, you know what? That's the thing that you just said. You said, you know, when you get past 50, you have to do it. But the thing is, it's like with the mammogram, they say, okay, after the age of 40, be concerned about it. No,
yeah.
You're obviously seeing the fact that people under the age of 40 are able to get and are unfortunately able to get breast cancer or colon cancer or whatever. And like I said, these insurance companies put an age limit on things, and then you're left with the burden of paying. And people can't do that. And that's what this is helping. And like I said, it's not like, you know, we all haven't had something like that in our life, and with every dollar counts.
Oh, it's so important. When my sister found out she had cancer at 16, it was ovarian cancer, and they had to take out the ovaries really quick, and then go through the chemo and all that. And I would drive. I was driving back then. I wasn't sick, and I'd carry her, you know, and to see that and know that you have to pay for that because the price, but you have to do it. There's no, and what a better gift to give forward, as they say, because you never know what's going to happen to you, but to help people that really, really, honestly, the poor are getting poorer in this nation, and I'm not going to get into politics, but it's getting harder and harder for them to get covered, or like you say, they cut them off, you know. We have to have that, and I'm glad that, I mean, the whole city does this every year, and it's so beautiful, but what it does is more important, and it's for a very important young woman that we lost too soon. And that
absolutely.
And you go back every year, and
I do, and that's why I'm like, let's go, people. Like I feel like I don't know if I've slacked or what, but I'm not even like halfway there. I gotta get past 400. I want to save more than one life.
Oh yeah,
I want to save a few lives. And I know it's close to the holidays and everybody has, like, you know, things going on. But like I said, that's why. Don't worry about it. A dollar, please.
I bet you.
It's not going to me. I'm not going to, like, throw the dollar bills in the air and rain and make it rain on me and stuff like that. No, I want to make it rain on trying to figure out how we can get down to these cancer issues. I mean, today I'm driving down the road and I'm listening to the radio station, and they're saying that these scientists came up with the best way to eat a hamburger, and the co-host on the radio show goes, the best way to eat a hamburger? Like, do these scientists not know that there's cancer, there's diseases that need more focusing on than how to freaking eat a hamburger? And they brought it down to a science. You need to put your thumb and your pinky, and you need to hold it, and like your other fingers need to be placed. Like, if they focus their energy on trying to stop AIDS, HIV, whatever, I mean, this is ridiculous. The groundhog looking at a shadow on a day it's raining, like, come on. I love the groundhog, don't get me wrong. But first off, it was raining. Second off, you're not going to get a shadow. Third off, let's focus on stuff that's like needs attention.
And there's a lot of people that, like the unknown guests that are in the room right now and the podcast listeners. Today is important. And if you're a man and you have a holiday coming up, which everybody knows, is Valentine's Day right around the corner. Watch your mailbox, Michelle, and your mother.
Ooh, thank you.
The most important thing, I can't think of any man that's going out with a woman or is married and doesn't turn around and say, honey, I know it's Valentine's Day, but can I send $50 in for this organization that does this year-round, and it isn't just, you know, like a 3-day walk or something like that, and have some impact? Would you get mad if I spent $50 less? But let's say I put it in your name. What woman would say no to that?
I mean, but that's the thing. Like, I like the fact that Jillian's bringing awareness towards the men this time, because men don't realize that maybe they're a little bit shyer about it. So this will be perfect for them to donate under a Valentine's Day gift, because it does. The deadline is the 15th. Perfect idea, Joe. Chocolate and, hey, a donation to Michelle's Place under Michelle Costa to help all out breast cancer. It's just start. Like I said, it's starting a revolution. It just doesn't have to be about breast cancer. It's just making awareness as well.
Yeah, right. I mean, and she does that full time all year round. all around the United States. She's flying and stuff. And she does that on her own dime. She doesn't get a penny on this. And that's, it's so phenomenal. And anybody, because they're here tonight, most people are here tonight for Laura from Survivor, knows her, remembers her. Unless, you know, you don't, then you can look her up. She's such a beautiful woman. And she tries so hard every year, and she instills it in every reality a person's mind and heart, what it is about. And I,
that's why we have to have our Manic Monday listeners, where we've actually have Jillian on every year that this great charity event's been happening. We have to show her that Manic Monday listeners, followers, maniacs, maniac Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdayers, up to Saturday and Sundayers, and don't miss Thursday and Fridayers, that we have her back with the end of the road, what it really comes down to, and it's just to help somebody.
Yeah, when they're pushed, shove, you know, you, and it's so easy to go through this, and so easy to donate.
I like the fact that they help, like, because, like, for me, if, like, I was, say, somebody in my family that's close to me had cancer, I would want somebody to help me because I know I have to be strong. I can't become weak. I can't crumble to my knees and say, why? It happened. Okay. It's already happened. We can't change it, but we can't change by the diagnosis, by what the doctors tell to do, by everything. So I like the fact that Michelle's Place helps the family.
Yeah, that's
get right through it, because if that's like the crutch, because if you shake and break, how do you expect the person going through this to make it? So I love the fact that they do that. I love the fact that they help them with the wigs to make them feel loved, important, part of, you know, society, not looked down on differently or whatever, you know. I mean, women wear freaking weaves and extensions and stuff. Like, let these women feel beautiful or whatever,
and,
you
and
know.
Those wigs are,
well, Joe, I want to say thank you so much for calling. And we do have our special guest on the switchboard, and I want to bring her up. So,
well, thank you, Joe.
I love you both. Thank you.
Love you,
thank
baby.
Thank you so much, babe.
Please
you're welcome
give
to stay on with us, though, if you'd like.
Please give.
I can
put
you on hold.
I'll just turn off my sound.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
And I do want to bring up our lovely special guest. I've been so anxious to have her on. Let's bring her up now. We're going to welcome the fabulous Laura Moret from Survivor Samoa and Blood vs. Water. Thank you for calling in, Laura. You're on with Michelle Costa.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me. And I need to apologize. I am 1 hour off. For some reason, I thought you guys were 3 hours ahead of me.
I thought we were 3 hours ahead of you, too.
Yeah, no, it's 4:38 right here.
Wait, what? I thought it would be 3:38.
No.
What time zone
anyway,
are you in, Laura?
I'm in Pacific time, in the West Coast. Pacific time.
Yeah.
Coast. Right? So what time is it there?
It's 7:38.
Anyway.
I love you, Laura.
Michelle, I love you, too. Let's talk. How are you? What do you want to know?
Okay, first off, I just want to say welcome back. Back. God, you're like a staple. I feel like there's a staple of Laura Moret on the Manic Monday shows because we love you and I love you. Welcome back.
Oh, well, thanks, one, for having me. I loved you and your show, and I love talking, obviously, like we know each other too, Michelle, so that makes it nice where, you know, you can interpret sometimes some things that I'm saying that maybe people might catch the wrong way, but thanks for having me, and I literally just got back to my home state in Oregon about 2 weeks ago from the live season finale in L.A. We took a month-long vacation after we had the live season finale, and we have just been gone. So
where did you go? Where did
we
you go?
We stayed in L.A. for a while, and then I have a home in Arizona. So we went to Arizona and just soaked up the sun. Well, it wasn't too sunny, but better than Oregon. And then
good
we went
for
back
you.
To L.A. For, yeah, went back to L.A. for a little bit and then took our time and drove home. So,
back so you're
to
back
reality
home.
For me. Yeah.
Yeah, no pun intended with the reality thing, right?
Yes, no pun intended. Good catch.
So how is your beautiful daughter, Sierra? We absolutely loved her. I mean, how is she doing?
She's doing good. Well, she's doing good now. When she first came back, she got Lyme disease, which turned into Bell's palsy. Because
what?
I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, my gosh. I know what both of those are, and that's, my gosh, my heart breaks for her.
She was covered with insect bites. Like, you could see from some of the videos, she just got attacked. Well, right after we were done filming, the doctors were looking at her, and they even gave her an IV because they were swelling up. So we come back home, and all of a sudden her face is, like, drooping. And she went to the doctor, and she got Bell's palsy because initially she got Lyme disease from a tick, and then it turned to Bell's palsy.
Shut up.
Yeah, so fortunately, praise the Lord, she only had the symptoms for about 3 weeks. They said it could take up to a year, and sometimes it's permanent. But
yeah.
Hers only lasted like 3 weeks, and so now she's back to her normal, cute little, perfect little face self. Everything's symmetrical and nothing's drooping.
Oh, my God.
Well,
that's insanity.
Usually the palsy can you know, last for a while, but usually that will come back. But the Lyme disease is what scares me the most because that can really be permanent if it's not caught soon enough. But as long as they gave her plenty of antibiotics and got rid of that early on before it really got bad, they can generally get rid of that.
Yeah. So we're hoping it. The doctor said, you know, she's probably going to have some Lyme disease
residual.
Forever. Probably. Yeah, it'll be in there forever, but as long as you take care of yourself, you should be fine. But it could sprout its head up at any time.
So question, like, if she got bit by, like, another tick, it would be, it's kind of like one of those things that it's, like, automatic. Is that, like, what it like, lingers in her blood? Is that how it works?
Yeah. It's kind of, and this
sounds
really
scary.
She hates it that I compare it to this, but it's kind of like the herpes virus. You have
it. It really is, though. It really is.
Wait, I can see why she voted you off. I mean, come on. No.
I have herpes. I'm like, well, you don't have herpes, but it's like that. You have it forever, and sometimes you can go symptom-free and live your whole life, but it lays dormant until something causes it to react.
If she got really, really sick and her system got really depleted, or if she had a really, like a car accident that really shook her system,
her
like
immune
to the
system,
core,
yeah.
Something like that. And there's something called the Epstein-Barr virus that they test for.
Why are you trying to scare this mother to death? What are you doing?
She knows all
I know
this.
A lot about
She's
this,
like,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, other than that, Sierra is doing awesome. Thank you for saying she's great. I mean, for me, as a parent, you are always so proud of your kids. You have everybody, like, shows their pictures and bring their pictures out and, you know, brags about their kids. For me, it was so awesome to have her on TV and to have millions of Americans see how great she is. And so
for me, Laura, I know you, and I've heard you talk about her, and then to, like, have her there, I was like, oh, my God. You know, it was like a different thing for me because, you know, we've spent a lot
connection.
Of time. Yeah, like we had such a connection where I just automatically was like, oh, my God, Sierra. And I was just like, oh, my God, you know. It
you
was
love
so
her already.
Awesome. I do. She's an she's a absolutely amazing woman. You should be one proud mama, girl.
Well, thank
absolutely.
You. I'm very proud of her. And, you know, it was a great experience to get to go through with it because you know how, Michelle, like when you're on Big Brother, you can try to explain it to people, but really the people that have experienced it really get it. And I came home my first season from Samoa Survivor, and you could explain to them what it's like to sleep outside and to be cold and to be starving, but they didn't really quite get it. Now to have my daughter get it, for the rest of our life, she gets it. I don't have to try to explain to her what it was like. It's just so amazing to have my own family member be like, I know what it's like.
So what did she say? Like, what, when she came out, because obviously dealing with the Lyme disease and all that, she also had to deal with the fame part. I mean, and
you know,
also
what?
Dealing with living in the situations that you did. I mean, how was that?
Well, for the first part, coming out and just getting recognized, luckily she didn't have a lot of haters. I mean, she got very, very
positive feedback.
Yeah, thank you. Positive feedback. Everything was so positive. There was, of course, a couple people that were like, I can't believe she voted out her own mother. And what type
of daughter
would
do that? But the way it went about, like, I would have been the same way. Like, I would have been like, don't vote out my Laura, you know? But
yeah,
the way it was about, and, like, she kind of told
to.
You and stuff.
Yeah.
I thought
that
it was, like, probably
that you
the
guys
only
had
way.
Was one of the most touching
yeah.
moments that you guys had. Touching moments of the entire season.
I cried.
You talked about watching your daughter grow up before your eyes, there wasn't anybody that was sitting on their couch at home that didn't have tears coming out of their eyes. I grant you. We were
and even watching it again the second time for me, it was same thing for me again. When you're out there, you're just stripped raw. I mean, you're just stripped. And so you're so vulnerable when you're out there. And so that was, you saw it, just this genuine, we knew the conversation was Sierra said to me, Mom, they're breaking up couples. And we're like, well, we knew that because we're the last couple. So we're like, okay, what's going to happen? And originally, me, Hayden, Sierra, Caleb, and Katie were all going to vote Tyson. And we're like, let's go with Tyson. That's why, I don't know if you remember during tribal council, when on the rock, drawing the rock situation, when Hayden said, you voted out your mom, and Tyson said, no, I didn't. Hayden, that was your idea. Because last minute, Hayden flipped and said, Sierra, you know what? No, we're not going to vote out Tyson. It's going to be your mom. And so Hayden was the one that changed. We were going to get rid of Tyson that day. So then Sierra comes to me and said, okay, Mom, because we knew, we thought, do you think they're really going to go with this plan and get rid of Tyson? And she said, they are. They're going to get rid of you. And I was like, okay, well, you know what, Sierra? I'll just win the challenge. And then Sierra said, and this makes me mad because a lot of people said that I told her or that she asked me to throw a challenge, which I would never do, even if she asked me, but she never asked me.
Never.
Ever, ever. And I said, I'll just win the challenge. And then Sierra goes, but then they'll vote me out. And so then I said, okay, well, what can we do? And she goes, Mom, nobody, this is what she said, nobody is going to take you to the end because they don't want to be sitting next to you because I just won my way back into the game. She goes, no one's going to want to sit next to you. And I said, well, they don't have to take me, Sierra. I'll win every challenge. And she said, but then they'll vote me out. So how do we get further in the game as a team? What can we do? And Sierra said, right now, Mom, I'm really good. I have an alliance with Tyson and Jervis, and I have an alliance with Caleb and Hayden. So both of those two want to bring me to the end. And that's when you hear me say that just rips my heart to even say this because it kills you. And I said, well, Sierra, honey, they only want to take you because they know they can beat you. You're their goat.
Yeah.
And that just hurt so bad because here I am telling my daughter, you're not playing a good game. They're only taking you because they know that you're a sure beat. And so then we just said, well, what do we do? And then we said, well, here's the deal. Sierra said, Mom, if you're going to win challenges, win them on Redemption Island and get back in the game. That way, I'll be off the – that way, you know.
And you did.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Well, thank you. So that's what it was. But it was just this really honest – she held up a mirror in front of me, and I held up mine in front of her, and she said, you know, no one's going to take you because they don't want to sit with you. And I said, they're only going to take you because they can beat you. What do we do? And that's what you saw, and it was just this.
It was awesome.
Thank you. It was so awesome.
Because you guys put down what everybody in your life you have learned is to never, ever go against your family. I mean, especially a mother to a daughter, but you guys talked about it. That's why I think that I never thought that she would get haters. I would understand where people would backlash, but you couldn't hate her because you guys were being honest with each other. You guys were telling each other, okay, this is how it is. I'm with this person. The other, and yes, she was in a better position than you, Laura. Yes. And
absolutely.
I knew you going to Redemption Island, you could do it. Vice versa, no. She would not do as good in Redemption Island, and you wouldn't do good in the position with the people that were there.
Right.
They were scared of you.
That's what we said, because we said, well, if Sierra gets voted out, she'll go to Redemption Island. Here's the deal. If I switch with her and she goes back in the game, I win the challenge, I'm still in it, they'll just vote her out next time, and then it's me against her. And then if I don't switch with her and she loses, then she's out. So we sat there and just talked about, let's just take every scenario. Forget who wants to win. Forget everything. Let's figure out how we can get together far. What can we do? And then it was just, you, like I said, you just saw that conversation. What I'm most proud of is just that thing, Michelle, I never taught my daughter, raised my daughter to, I never just give up and say, here you go, you can have it. And the fact that she was brave enough and had the courage to look me in the eye and say, Mom, we're going to vote you out. I was so proud of her to be like, you go, girl, you play that game. But yet my player instinct was just like, oh, crap. I'm about to get voted out. Oh, no, what do I do? But that's why you just saw those tears, was I was so proud that my daughter was saying, Mom, I'm playing the game. And sorry, but you're gonna, and we both have a healthy outlook of, it's only a game. You know, it's $1 million isn't going to change who I am as a person. It's going to definitely.
No, but I think But it's so crazy because I think, like, it has brought you and Sierra so much closer than you guys probably ever thought possible, and your family, because now you can say, see, I told you so, and Sierra's like, yeah. Crazy. I voted against my mom. Like, you know, it's such a huge dynamic.
It was, and I love Sierra's answer at the season finale when Jeff asked, are you guys closer? And I said, I don't know if I could possibly be closer, because you love your kid like no other. But Sierra said, it definitely added another element to our relationship. It definitely added a new found respect for each other. And it was just like, my daughter is cool. My daughter's amazing. And she was able to say, man, my mom kicks ass. And so it just added a new dynamic to our relationship. It was amazing.
We loved watching it. We absolutely loved watching it. And, you know, you have a way of talking. And before, when you came on the last time you were on Survivor, you had done a lot of motivational speaking. Are you doing a lot of that now? I can see you doing that more than ever now.
I am, but literally I just got back from town, so I have a few things. I have one book this Friday, and I'm just starting to get back into it again because I just kind of got released from CDS, you know, because we're kind of for the year, as you know, you have to do publicity when they say you can do it. And so I pretty much just got cut free to kind of do my own thing at this point. So I do a lot of speaking. I do a lot with our church. A lot in women's ministry is where my heart is. But I definitely speak in just, you know, secular, you know, appointments. So, yes, I do. Thanks for asking.
Okay. Well, what a random question, and Laura's going to understand this, and nobody else probably will. But, Laura, if it were to snow any flavor, what flavor would you want it to snow?
And, you know, the funny thing about it is I'm still going to say this even after being stuck on an island. Banana. Can you believe that?
And we're snowing a lot around where I live and where a lot of people are listening right now, Laura. So if you're out there and it's snowing, hopefully it tastes like banana. But if it's yellow, it might not be banana. So Laura, we don't want to let anybody go eat yellow snow, right?
Right. So, you know, Let's go with coconut. There you go. How's that?
All right, good. Wait, coconut, don't you think you should get away from the coconuts? I mean,
no,
didn't you live with a lot of coconuts on the island?
I did. I lived with coconut and rice and bananas, and I still love them. I'm Hawaiian, so you can't take that out of me. I mean, I'm going to love it for life. Yeah.
Awesome. I have a personal question for you. So I have spent a lot of time with Kat and Hayden. They're very good friends of mine, just like with you. We've spent a lot of very powerful moments. How is it hanging out with them. I'm sure you probably love them.
Love, love, love them. I am so proud of Kat because what America didn't see was, remember Colton quit, right? So we all remember Colton quit. The reason why Colton quit is because up until that point, Colton was going around being a little troublemonger. And he was trying to stir up, as you saw at the first of the show, everybody's going, Colton, quit trying to cause trouble. Quit trying to cause trouble. And me and Aris and Tina and Jervis and Laura B and Monica, meaning the older crowd, the AARP, as Colton called us.
Discount, double check.
Double check, boom. The AARP wanted nothing to do with his causing trouble, so we would shut him down. The only person that wouldn't would be Kat. And Kat would just be crying and be so upset, and we were constantly acting like parents between Kat and Colton. And finally, the day before Colton quit, Kat was just bawling, and she was so nervous because everybody was just annoyed with them both. I said, Kat, look it, we're gonna send you home tomorrow if we lose the challenge, if you don't knock it off. You are running around looking like you're the crazy person, even though Colton is. You need to take yourself down the beach, get yourself together, and then stand up to him and tell him to knock it off, because none of us are letting him bully us around but you. And either you're going to go or he's going to go. And Kat did it. She went down the beach. She had this time to herself. And then when she came back and Colton started, like, bossing her around, she's like, you know what, Colton? I'm not. And she totally stood up to him. He wanted to quit that night, but production wouldn't let him. He was walking around camp, grabbing his bags, putting his stuff in it, like, I'm going home. And they're like, Colton, no, you're not. If you want to quit, you have to do it tomorrow in front of Jeff. So Kat, it was the reason why, because he realized that he cannot bully Kat anymore. So Kat stood up to him, said, I'm done with your bullying. I'm not going to listen. And when he realized, that's why he quit, because he realized that he couldn't manipulate anybody anymore.
Well, you know what?
Good for you, though, Laura. It was
Google.
You that did
yeah.
that.
Well,
it was you that talked to Kat that caused her to stand up to him. So good for you
yeah.
that you had to talk with Kat.
Because I love her, and I knew she could, and I'm just like, Kat, you've got to, and I was like, we're going to book you out. You better get yourself down the beach, get yourself together, and she did. And so it was amazing. Hayden is exactly what you see. He has got to be the nicest, kindest, most genuine. Love him.
Yeah.
Love him. And him and Sierra got along really well, which just blessed my heart because no attraction there meaning-wise, but just like brother-sister. And so watching the show back, seeing how excited he was when Sierra would succeed or how it was a really neat relationship, and I knew that they kind of had each other's backs, even though, you know, she turned against him on that one time because he turned against me, and they kind of had that bickering. They are the bestest of friends, and I'm going to call him a boy, but I love that man-child.
Yeah. I love Kat, and I love Hayden, so I love that it's like, you know, what do they call it when people are connected?
Five
degrees of separation, yeah. But where I'm from is 2 degrees separation because, you know, everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, it was just, yeah. Because he's big brother. Just good. They're just, honestly, our cast this year, this season, was good people. I mean, even Colton, and people hate it when I say this because they're so mad at Colton and he can be really nasty, but here's your tender spot for Colton. So if you're always searching to find a reason to like him, let me tell you why. Colton, his whole life, has been just kind of kicked in a corner, meaning just like he's never been accepted his whole entire life. He's never fit in. And so when people attack him, he's like a wounded animal. His defense is to attack back even worse. Now, it doesn't mean that it's right by any means whatsoever, but it kind of gives you an insight into why he does things. And when it's just me and him alone, one-on-one, I love that boy. I love him to death. But He hates the fact that he even acts out and does that. So when he does act out, it makes him even hate himself more. And it just kills you to watch it because you know he's so mad at himself for doing it, but he can't control himself.
I love Colton. I loved him the first season, and I didn't agree with his views, but I felt like there was something inside of him. And I felt like, you know what, so many people have turned their back on him.
Yeah.
Though I was nobody watching it, I'm like, I would never turn his back. And I always said, he is so welcome on. I loved him. And then, you know, everything happened. He got sick. Then when he came back on, I was super excited. I was like, finally, people get to see him. And then everything happened. And I was like, I'm so disappointed because there was a chance. But I still want to fight for him. Like, I still hurt for him.
You know what? He needs those people to keep saying, not condone what he did. Say,
no, I don't. I just feel like there's somebody behind there like that needs to get that wall knocked down.
Good, because he does. He is, and I say that, he has the biggest heart. I love him to death, and he's only 22 or 23, so he's still young. He's really young. And
I feel like he's been sheltered, and this is like a wide awakening for him, and he didn't know how to respond, and all he knows is to like,
attack.
Freak out and then run away. And then he comes back and then he freaks out and runs away. Like, he doesn't know that it's okay to be afraid of something or to be like, oh, this is new to me, and owning it. Like, because he's just been sheltered, I feel like. I feel like this survivor has kind of made him come out of his shell, and he doesn't know how to handle it. That's what I feel.
Exactly. And he does, and I love him. I love him that he's the neatest person. I'm so glad to hear you say that, because that is, you're right on and accurate. I mean, he doesn't know how to respond, and then he lashes out.
That's just 100% my opinion. I mean, you have to look past some things. Like, some people are crazy, yeah, but you can see him hurt, and you can see him in his eyes. I mean, you don't have to have a sight. You just have to have that feeling. Look at him. I'm sad when I look at him. I want to help him. I want to go through the TV, and I want to, like, not, like, hurt him. I want to shake him, right? Because he's, like, just a lost soul that just needs to be found.
And he's hilarious, super, super hilarious. He's very interesting. I mean, he has so much to offer, and besides just his sexuality, I think, that everybody just looks at and then stereotypes him. And
I don't even see that. I see none of that. I don't see that he's gay. His boyfriend was amazing.
Oh,
and
my
it
God.
Just showed me, it showed me that there's something that we don't see in him, because of the way his boyfriend was. His boyfriend would not, you know, his boyfriend seems, I think, to me, to be very forward. And that's what I think Colton likes about him, is that maybe he tells him like it is. But it wasn't shown that on TV.
Exactly. Well, and Caleb, I mean, is just, you nailed it. Just the nicest. He is the most masculine man that's gay. He's the most masculine, like, even heterosexual man. He is like a farmer. He wears Carhartt. He's like a guy's guy. And so but yet he's gay. So it's just this weird dichotomy, because you're looking at him, and he's like as masculine as Brad Culpepper was. I mean, he had testosterone going, and you're looking at him, but yet he's gay. And he had this really soft side to him that I just loved. There's not one thing, if you had me think of one bad thing about Caleb, I couldn't think of, honestly, one bad thing about him.
I agree.
So, Ori, you have always had the biggest heart, and I'm going to bring it up here at this point. Many people may not remember, but this show was founded by Ron Radkowitz, and we lost him way too soon to a congenital heart disease at the age of 40. But you had called in back when Ron was still with us, and he was sick, and
mm-hmm.
you prayed with Ron. On air, you prayed with him. And at this point, I just want to take a moment to say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for praying with our Ron.
Meant
the world to so many of us that you took the time out of your busy day to pray with Ron. And you have the biggest
heart. It was honestly
an
honor. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for saying that, because I may have been on a reality show, but I am just like everybody else. I'm just like everybody else in the world. And
I'm just like you.
Absolutely. So it was my honor to do that. So thank you for remembering. I remember that.
It just meant so much, and it meant so much to him. And I just wanted to say thank you, because he was so over the moon to have somebody from Survivor step and take a moment to pray with him. And it just meant the world to him, and therefore it meant the world to all of us too. And that was so special of you to do. And I'll never forget it, and many of us won't. And
absolutely.
It was just so cool for you to do. And
you're welcome.
I just wanted to say thank you so much for doing that. And
you can call
those
me anytime
you need
prayer.
That means so much. And
we love having you on Manic Mondays, Laura. You've been a staple here.
You have the biggest heart. And I was so glad to see you back on Survivor, and especially with your daughter.
I was super excited. I didn't even know you guys, okay? So I didn't even know. When I turned the TV on, I was like, shut up. I texted her right away, and I was like, oh, my God. And she was just like, yeah, I can't talk right now, but yeah. And I was like, and like every single time the show was on, it was either that day or the day after because of the way I came home or my DVR, whatever.
I get a text
and
from you.
I would send her text messages like, what the frig? Look what's wrong with them. And she goes, keep watching. Just keep watching. That would be her text every time. Keep watching. Love you, bug. Keep watching. Keep watching. And I'm like, I hate them. I despise them. I'm going to stab in the eye and you're going to win Redemption Island. Oh, my God. It was, I probably blew up her phone so much. I'm sorry, Laura.
You know, it's my family, everybody did that because I got voted off on day 14. And everybody was just like, oh, no. Well, at least Sierra's still in. And they would be like, at least Sierra's still in the game. And I was like, who messed the bus up? I'm still in the game.
I was like, you got Redemption Island. I was worried about you. I was like, woo-hoo. And you were killing it on Redemption.
Oh, yeah. That was, for me, was the best part because socially, and admittedly, my daughter had a way better social game. I can rub people the wrong way very easily because I'm aggressive. You know me, Michelle. I'm aggressive. I'm upfront.
I mean, maybe other people think that. I think you're fucking amazing. Oh, excuse my language.
You're so
I'm sorry.
Sweet. Well, maybe they're without food and they're on an island. I can be a little bit more abrasive than my daughter is. So for me to have my game played, physical abilities to do challenges, I was like, bring it. This could not be any better for me because...
Oh, I thought it was perfect, Laura.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Yes, Sierra has the social game and Laura has the redemption game, baby.
And I just thought, I don't have to like make alliances and try to lie to somebody and try to deceive. All I have to do is win a challenge. I got this. So it was a perfect setup. I got to spend tons of time with Tina, which I don't know if you've ever met Tina or not, but just is
what
an
amazing
woman.
I haven't, but
oh my God! I mean, I just
how was Tina at finale?
Just hug her.
I know
I just want to hug
had
her.
She lost her son right before finale, how was she at finale?
I'll tell you a really, really neat story that'll just bless your heart. When we were on Redemption Island, Tina would be saying, like, we'd come back from challenges, and she'd be going, Laura, I don't know why I'm still here. I can't believe I'm still here. Like, God has got something going on in my life to still be here. Because the first time, she beat, remember, Aris. The second time, I helped her because I told her how to solve the puzzle with Vita.
Right.
Remember? So she didn't really necessarily win. It was just kind of by default. The next challenge, 45 minutes before it was over the House of Cards, Caleb's house fell down. He was way ahead of her. The third challenge, Katie's key fell in the sand, and there was no way she could get the key out. So she didn't necessarily beat the people. She just kind of won by default. So she was saying, Laura, this is just so crazy that I'm still here. I should have been gone long ago, and God is doing something crazy. I don't know what he's doing. Well, so fast forward to the live season finale in December, were in the studio in L.A. at the CBS studio, mind you, like 8 days before her son had just been killed in the car accident. And so she's very tender still, and nobody really was sure if she was going to come, but then we got a call, and Tina said, yeah, I'm going to make it. And we're up in the green room, and we're watching the last show upstairs right before we come in live. So we're all together. We're up there, and Mark Burnett was up there with us, and we're all sitting on the couch, and they come to the challenge where it's me, Tina, and Hayden. And she comes over to the couch where I'm sitting, and I know this is a kind of an intimate moment, and I know she won't mind, but she comes over to the couch where we are sitting, and she's, like, grabbing my hand, and we're watching the challenge, and Hayden's vase falls, and I'm, like, dancing like a marionette on the box, and then my thing falls, and it's like, Tina, back in the game. And Tina turns to me and is hugging me and is weeping, just weeping, like the gravity of everything is just hitting her, and she's just, like, sobbing. And she was saying, I'm so sorry, that should have been you. That should have been you. And she's like, you know, like can't hardly even catch her breath. And she's just sitting there and she's like, I'm so sorry. And I kind of pulled her back and I grabbed her arms. I said, Tina, do you remember when we were on Redemption Island? And she's like, yeah. And I said, and you kept saying, you can't believe that you're still here, that God is doing something, and you don't know what he's got going on, but he's doing something. And she's like, yes. And I said, you know what I believe? I believe that God knew that at this time in your life, you needed something really good to happen. And something really good just happened right there, Ms. Wesson. You're back in that game. And
wow.
She just starts crying. And honestly, it was ointment for my heart, because I was so disappointed that I didn't get back in the game, so disappointed. But to know that at that moment, Tina had, what's $1 million? She lost her son. It's nothing.
I know.
But to know
I
that
know.
For that moment, Tina had this great moment of hearing that crowd just cheering and her family knowing that Tina's back in the game again. And maybe just for a glimpse to not be sad was, and I know this sounds really cliche, but it's 100% true, was so worth $1 million. So worth $1 million.
And I know that you mean that with all your heart, too.
Yeah,
I know
I
do.
I adore
That's
her. So
crazy.
The show, why it was so successful, I think, this year, was that was a moment that the viewers didn't get to see, but the show was wrapped with moments like that.
Love for
another person. Like when Rachel told Tyson, don't switch with me. They want you to switch, and you stay in that game, and you win. And Tyson switched with Laura, and, you know, and Caleb kind of stood up for Colton. And, you know, I mean, just it was just wrapped with moments.
The layers of emotional twist that were in this game that we didn't see in regular Survivors, that Blood versus Water brought to the game, was tenfold. I mean, you don't see that in a regular game with strangers, but when you bring in people who love one another, people who are related to one another, it just brought in, I mean, you've never seen a Survivor where people didn't even want to play with a hidden immunity idol. I mean, they didn't
exactly.
even want those clues. It was
exactly.
it was
yeah,
too much
that was
because
crazy.
There was too much other emotional things going on for them to even be bothered with that hidden immunity idol. It was cursed this year because of all the
yep.
other underlying emotional situations that were going on. They didn't even want that hidden immunity idol. That was
there were so many different strategies and aspects of this game with the blood versus water that they have even tapped into the, all the things that can happen. And rumor has it is that they are going to be doing another blood versus water. I know that when Jeff Probst called me before our live one, and he was kind of asking about Sierra and I's relationship, about, you know, he said, you know, we definitely want to do another blood versus water, but, you know, I don't think we'll ever be able to recreate, like, what you and your daughter had. You know, what was that? How do you? And so he was asking me about it, but he did mention that, yeah, you know, they definitely want to do another blood versus water.
Oh, that's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
That's why Big Brother should do a blood versus water.
That would be good.
Just saying. I don't
just
know.
Saying.
I got blood and I got water. I mean, come on.
Well, so anyway, so it was just an amazing season, and like I said, our cast was exceptional. Every person on there, compared to my Samoa season, there, you know, there's definitely people where you're just like, yeah, we probably wouldn't see each other again. And this season, everybody just literally adores each other. We just had some
they definitely did well in casting.
Awesome. Now, have you guys, like, got, like, a reunion thing going on? Did you guys get to see each other yet or planning on seeing each other in the near future?
Well, let's see. We saw everybody at the finale, and that's it, because literally I just got back home. So, obviously, I see Sierra, but I talk with Hayden, I talk with Tyson, I talk with Aris, I just talked to Jervis yesterday. Kat will email me, Monica will email me, Tina will email back and forth. So we haven't planned on getting together, but we always say, let's meet somewhere. You know who I see all the time from my first season is Kelly Sharbaugh, the blonde with the dreads.
Yeah.
Aw, how is she doing?
She is doing amazing. She's lives in L.A. still, and we stay in very close contact. Every time I'm either in Arizona or L.A., she makes an effort to drive, doesn't matter how far, to come and see me. And she flew to Oregon one time and stayed here. So you know how it is, Michelle. I mean, you have this bond. You meet these people, and you decide this is going to be a genuine friend. This is going to be somebody that I want in my life.
Just like I think about you. Yay.
Just like you, Michelle. Absolutely.
Yeah. I adore you, babe. I've just been, do you have any charity events or anything you got going on? Like, are you going to be making it to Reality Rally?
Well,
I
wish I could commit, but I might have something in the works, so I don't know. And I know that sounds so diva and so, like, read between the lines, and I'm trying not to be, but I won't know until last minute. Yes.
Okay, well, I mean, you can be on here and let everybody know that today is National Cancer Day, and so we're trying to get people to donate under my name and whatever you got going on, so let's donate under my name. What are your thoughts about breast cancer? I mean, we're trying to raise money. We're also trying to bring up the fact that it's just not men, it's women, and that women under 40 are denied by their insurance company to get a mammogram paid because they are under the age of 40. And so the $400 is what pays for a mammogram. Do you have any thoughts you want to give about cancer itself or any breast cancer in your family or anybody you know about?
Wow. Well, praise the Lord, nobody in my immediate family is affected by it, but one of my dear friends, who's our pastor's wife, just got diagnosed, so she's fighting it hard right now. And then my actually best friend, her husband is the associate pastor. He is on 4 years of remission right now, but he had cancer as well. So definitely people that are extremely close to my heart that have been affected. And praise the Lord, both of them are doing well. They're fighting it. It was detected early in both cases. So that's why it is so important to get the mammograms. It's early detection. Some of these things, it kills me because one of my Sierra's best friend, her mother went in to get a colonoscopy, and she got one at 50, and cancer and the colon cancer runs in her family. So at 51, she went in again and requested another one, and she was denied. They said, "You had one last year. You don't need one again." And she said, "I would like one because it runs in my family, so can I please have one?" They said, "Nope, you don't need one. You just had one last year." She went in on her 52nd birthday and found out that she had cancer in her colon, and she died 6 months later.
It could have been
detected. And her whole battle cry towards the end was, do not be intimidated by doctors. If your instincts are telling you to get something done, do it, and don't let them tell you no. Because she said, if I would have put my foot down and demanded that they gave me one, it could have been, they could have saved her. She would have been alive today. And so just the anger that she had, that it could have been, and she was the most amazing woman. I love her name is Elizabeth Seibert, and I love her to death. And she just said she was so mad that she didn't put her foot down and say something because they could have caught it early and she could have won.
But she was listening to her health care provider, and that's what most of us do. We think they know best, and they don't. We know best about what's going on in our bodies. And
exactly.
And but unfortunately, it comes down to our doctors.
Yeah, but it comes down to insurance, and it comes down to political things, really, what it comes down to. And that's why Sherry and Laura, you know, we've said our stories tonight. Laura, before you came on, we were talking a lot about this and your story. I mean, you guys, go on to, the link is on the chat room. It's on my page. Put a dollar, two, three, five, ten. I don't care what you put in, anonymous. Go and donate. You can save a life, if not more than one. But if you can save one, isn't that the most important thing? I mean,
absolutely.
Come on.
Absolutely.
And
then
Michelle's
place.
I will be donating to your page, my friend.
I'll be sending you there, and hopefully maybe, well, hopefully not, but I might see you there. But
well, I mean, I hope so, but it sounds like I hope not, because maybe we will be talking to you the next time.
Exactly.
Yeah. More bloodier
and more sweatier.
It sounds
like you might have bigger and better things to do, Laura.
Well, Laura, you better go donate away, because we don't want you to get, you know, caught up. No, I'm kidding. But you guys heard Laura talk about the story, and she says you're going to donate. You guys go donate. It's really important. I mean, like Laura said, you know, she was actually telling her doctor, this is what I think. And the doctor was like, no, because the doctor knows the insurance won't pay for it. So
Absolutely. So anyway, I'll be going to your page and donating, my friend, and thank you for doing that. I love that you're bringing attention to that and standing up with the rest of the reality family and drawing attention to it.
Well, I mean, I've been doing this for years because I love it. And I've been doing this before I was doing reality. And I said, if I can make this a platform to make my voice heard and to be able to kind of be like a domino effect and make it heard with people telling other people. It's like telephone. And I don't care at that point with charity. You can telephone it all you want into the most absurd story or whatever you want, as long as it helps somebody.
Right.
You know,
and you got
telephone.
A platform now. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And it's been 6 years. So it's great that you know, people support you. And Laura, thank you so much, girl.
Oh.
I love you.
Thank you. I love you, too. So I'm going to your page and donating. And
see, people? Laura Moret is donating, everybody. Listen, be her. Be her. It's a race. It's like a survivor race. Be her to it.
All right. Well, I love you, and I'll talk with you guys soon.
All right. Thank you, Laura.
So much,
and you
for
come back
in, sweetie.
When you can, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink.
I will.
Wink, wink.
Wink. Wish me luck.
All right.
We love you, Laura.
Take
care. And we're going to be wishing you and praying for you all the luck in the world. We want you to just get whatever you're hoping for in life. And whatever should be coming your way, we hope it comes your way.
Well, thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Take care, hon.
Whoa.
I don't know exactly what she's talking about,
Wait.
But I hope it's something that we...
Breaking news, we don't even know what's happening, but we don't know. But we do know.
Maybe another.
But we do know Cherry. We don't know because we don't want to know or put emphasis on.
It could be that.
But we do know this.
BVW.
Wait, but we do know this, right, Cherry? That she's going to donate right now on my page.
That's right. And, you know, I used your idea. And I went to your Facebook page, and I put on your Facebook page, because you know I'm bold, I put on your Facebook page that if each one of your friends on your Facebook page donated $1, it would mean so much, because today is National Cancer Day. And so I put it out there. I just, you know, I'm bold. I put it on your Facebook page that if each one of your Facebook friends donated $1 on National Cancer Day, it would mean so much for Michelle's Place. So let's see how many of your friends on your Facebook page will donate $1 today.
Terry, call them out. Terry,
I'm
be
calling
out
them
there.
Out.
Put
call
it
out,
out
there on Front Street.
On Front Street. And Mama Costa said yesterday, oh, Michelle, I want to donate money to Michelle's place. Because I love my Michelle and the Michelle place, and my mom's going to be donating $50.
Aww.
Yes,
your Mama
Costa
is so precious.
Yes. She's very, very, like, you know, involved in, and when it comes to breast cancer, like I said, we just lost my my cousin, and, yeah, she wants to be involved, so she's going to be donating. So, like I said, domino effect, Cherry. So,
well, let's see how many of your friends will donate.
Yeah, we're going to call them up. We did, and it is about 8:25. We have a couple minutes left. I know that, you know, donation is key. Cherry, do we have anybody coming on next week? I mean,
Well, we could have. I talked to somebody
Cray-cray.
This afternoon.
Cray-cray.
and I haven't confirmed that she's available for next week yet. Now I don't know if you're talking about he or she.
Well, you told me about a he.
Yeah.
I don't know about a she.
Okay. We may have
the she.
I guess you didn't get my text while we were talking to Laura. Yes, next week we could have BB15 McRae on Manic Monday. And I just extended the show, so we have a few more minutes.
I just had a moment.
But,
yeah, I love McRae. I'm super excited. But wait, is this true? My Canadian lover, which I want to say first off, Canada, you can have Biba already. We're done. Deport him. But we would love for you to send to us. Wait. I'm shocked. I'm doing the shot. Tala?
Miss Tala. Tala.
I love her. Oh, my God, I love her.
She said she's ready to come back to Manic Mondays.
I am verklempt.
Well, you know, PVCA is about ready to start. And
I
thought, no, it's time for us to talk to some BBCA people. So,
but, oh my God, wait, is McRae and Tala going
to
be on together? What?
I don't think so. I don't know.
You
that
never know. You never. Listen, you never know. That's why we're going to do it, to be continued. Dun, dun, dun.
We'll have to figure out how that, I don't know. We might have McRae and then Tala. I don't know.
I don't know. I think McRae first, and then we go into Tala with McRae.
That would be cray-cray.
I would like that delivered on a McRae-cray platter. Thank you, and I am just over the moon. But I just first want to say that, chat room, you guys have been awesome. Thank you so much. We've talked a lot about going out and donating. Let's just do it, you guys. Come on. Do it. I'm okay with you guys leaving the show now and going. Bye. See you later. Do you want to say bye to them, Cherry? Say bye.
So before you leave.
No. Say bye to the people that are voting right now or they're going to donate.
They can go donate while they listen.
Okay. Yeah. But if
are you watching Opposite Worlds?
Oh, yes. That's what I want to talk to you about. I am. And I'm I don't know yet, but I like it. But I don't know yet.
They have so many components. I kind of like it. I really do.
I like it, but I mean, I thought it was funny that Jay cried because he was, like, the most hated. Like, he cried like a baby.
Yeah, I mean, some of the ones that, I don't know, the guy that just went out,
the one that,
I can't remember his name now, but he was so upset because his team put him in, and he was Wyatt. Right, yeah, he just really made me mad. He was the right guy to go in, and he was so mad because.
But I can see where he was coming from.
Yet.
I can see where he's coming from. The new guy should have gone in, but their plan wasn't Wyatt. Their plan was to get out because they get to pick the other side. So they could have picked either. There was only Wyatt. They're not going to put any of the girls in, you know.
I just thought he was being a baby.
Yeah.
He should have
been a baby too. Would you have been a baby too if you'd been there? You built the fires and you made the, you know what I mean? Like, come on, you have to put yourself in their shoes, though. Like, I would have been pissed off too, not, like, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I understand in a way, but in a way, it's like, you know, if you're going to be part of the team, you got to be ready to defend the team. And
I think they got screwed because they lost another strong guy.
I know.
Which was one of the so they didn't get.
And now are they
to
ever
going to
get out of the pass?
But that's what I'm saying. They didn't get anybody to. What should have happened is they should have gotten somebody to replace that guy.
Yeah,
but they didn't.
The
so left they left it being two guys. So of course. If a woman wins, she's not going to put a woman up, and that's what happened. So he would have probably not gone up, you know what I mean?
They should have gotten a guy to replace Charles when he got his leg broken, and they didn't
replace
him.
Yeah, I think
so,
too. Yeah,
and
I think that's
totally unfair.
Yeah.
And now I think they're going to wind up in the past forever, and we're just going to see them get annihilated. And
yeah. That
totally sucks because I like those people better on the past side than I do on the future side.
I actually am surprised how the past is, like, so huge. I like the future. I like some of the people in the future, and I think that some of them are getting a bad rap. I mean, because they are in the future, that doesn't mean that, oh, they're –
I'm not saying they're bad people, but I think the people
no,
in the
no,
past
no, 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 but
have
I'm
a
saying
good
like,
attitude.
No, I'm saying, like, you know, the past, they're stuck with the past. Some of the people in the future are scumbags, but some of the people in the future, that's just what the cards are dealt with, you know, and they're getting a bad rap. That's what I meant by that. I mean, you know, because it's not all of them. Like, all of them aren't that bad. I mean, Jay, we can tell he's a little sneaky fucking snake.
I know. I know.
You know, but at the same time, you can't, like, hate him. Like, he doesn't do anything for you to hate him. He's working, like, the different teams, which we don't really know what's going on with him working with, like, the past and how the past is ever going to get in the future. And it's just, it's like, for me, that's a little weird. It's just like, I'm watching it, like, I missed the first episode, which wasn't too much, but it's interesting. I'll say that. How's that? Sorry. It's interesting.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And if anybody's
watching
that.
What other shows are you watching, Michelle?
I'm watching American Idol, of course, and I'm watching Real World Explosion, and the exes came back.
I know. OMG. This next week is going to be huge. This week they teased us with the exes coming back, and it was like the last 20 seconds of the show.
Yeah, fucking pissed off. Yeah, I
know.
More.
I know. So this week is going to be big. Can't wait for this week to see them actually interact with the exes now that they're walked in the house. So I can't wait for that.
there's so many shows I'm watching right now. Oh, my God. I got to tell you, Michelle, something you may not know.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you know who Alan Golden is.
Yeah.
Cowboys friend Alan Golden. Okay, well,
love him. Yep.
He got chosen to go out and audition The Voice.
For
and
what?
The Voice.
Get out. I thought you said
I'm
Bad
serious.
Boys. I'm like, wait,
no,
because he's
the
a
voice.
Cop? Bad Boys, Bad Boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad Boys, Bad Boys. And I don't have a good voice, but obviously, Mr. Alan Golden has a great voice. What?
Well, he went out to Nashville, and he wasn't selected from that lineup just yet. But there's still a chance. He's going to be sending in an audition tape. They said that he should. And he's going to be coming on this Thursday night on our Reality Roundtable show to talk to us about his experience going out there and how it all went down. And you know, he's going to keep going. He's not giving up yet. And this
well,
is
just
his first time trying.
Last year, and I know that he has been on a huge, crazy ride, and he's lost so much weight. He's been doing so much.
Oh, he looks fantastic.
Oh,
Michelle.
My God.
He
I mean, like I said,
fantastic.
I was with him last year at Toys with Tots, and he was like, Michelle, you know, he was on this game show and all this stuff, and he's like, I'm losing weight. And, like, he lost, like, I want to say, like, 100-something pounds. It's, like, crazy.
200 pounds.
Crazy.
And he looks fabulous. And so he's going to be coming on Thursday night and talking to us and explaining his whole
Ooh.
Process of going out to try out for The Voice. And, you know, that's one of my favorite shows. I think it's heads and tails much better than American Idol now.
Oh, that would be my pick.
But
I bumped.
But
that was a
I can't wait to find out
it,
what
so.
It was what it was like for him to go out there, you know, knowing somebody like we do Alan, and having him go out there, I mean, it was just so exciting, Michelle. I mean, oh, my gosh, I'm so happy for him. And
I'm super excited for him. That's awesome.
I know.
We can have him
oh
come sing on Manic Mondays. How exciting.
I know.
I'm twisting my mustache as we speak.
I just
that
adore him.
Oh, my God. So, Charlie, we have had a fulfilled night. I mean, once again, it's Manic Monday, you guys. Next week.
We have a caller on the switchboard.
We do?
Before you rush off.
Okay.
That I think
well,
I'm
not rushing
up.
Anywhere. I've been here for 2 hours. Who's rushing?
We have area code 763. You're live on the Rad Reality Show,
right.
Manic Mondays, with Michelle Costa.
You don't know my number without me checking my name in?
Okay, man. You're not the frozen, what is it, Incredible Snowman?
Mr.
Hi,
Paul
guys.
From Minnesota. How are you?
Hello, Paul.
Did you, Cherry, hello, Michelle. Cherry, did you at least think that it was my number?
Oh, I knew who it was. I wasn't going
to. Oh, you're a big tease. No, I just got home about 10 minutes ago or so. Prior to that, you noticed me. I was actually in my car listening as I was driving home from my parents. So I did hear some of the show. But I got a question. I don't know if anybody knows. Where is the Opposite World house? Because it is freaking cold there.
Well, I don't think it's cold. Well, I mean, if you can think about California when the sun sets, it's probably colder. I mean, right? Especially
I'm not
those,
sure, but when
those new
they
age
say,
outfits,
you can see
like
their
some,
breath.
The, yeah, but it's also like those, like the not the the past, but the present. Some of those outfits are a little scary for me. I don't like them, and they show too much of a certain area that I don't appreciate. Thank you very much. But, I mean, think about it. I mean, it's been cold around lately, and they're doing it live, you guys.
Right.
So
it's
not
the last
surprising
show,
that they're in California, maybe, but I don't know.
That's the only thing is, on the last show, he said it is actually, we've reached freezing. In other words, 32 degrees, and I just did not picture that being the kind of weather in California. So I actually,
and he also mentioned that the polar vortex was hitting.
Yes. So I,
so
I
where had
done
have
a,
they have they said anything about where it is, like on the news
I tried to do a search last week to see if I could find where the house was, but I was unsuccessful. I just didn't know if anybody else might have heard. Jerry, I got some news for you in case you missed it. Premiering tonight in an hour and 20 minutes.
I know. Devil's Ride. Is that what you're going to tell me?
Okay. Yes.
That was
mainly the reason why I wanted to get on air and tell you. I could have called you on the phone, too. But at any rate, I knew that you would be excited
Breaking
about
news.
That.
Breaking news. Devil's Ride. Yeah.
Devil's Ride. Mm-hmm. Paul and I have been watching that for a while. I turned him onto that show a long time ago. And
yeah,
we've
did.
Been watching that
you
for
dirty
a few
rat.
Seasons.
and
that's a really good one.
We can't forget about tomorrow night, Michelle. All the shows that you rattled off to Cherry, have you been watching Biggest Loser this year?
Of course, and I cannot wait for the finale tomorrow. I'm so excited. Holy shit. And I was just actually telling my mom yesterday, I was like, oh, I lost a couple pounds because my mom's been actually yelling at me because she says my face looks skinny, and I'm like, yeah. and so I was saying, like, oh, you know, the girl that's on it, the one
that's our
won
girl.
The triathlon,
that's
yeah, she lost 100, well, she's down to 151 pounds, and that's my weight, but I said, oh, I lost a pound, so I'm 150, and looking at me and looking at her, it's like, wait, how is that different? I'm actually at the first time in my life at my weight because I'm 5'10". And people don't realize that bone mass height has a lot to do with it. So I'm at 5'10" at 150 pounds, and she's 150 pounds, and she's considered to be overweight. It's so weird.
Well,
but you're all muscle, Michelle.
Well, I'm muscle, and I'll be honest, I'm tits too. I got big boobies in the rail, sorry.
Yeah, and you got a lot of hair.
They're double
too,
D's.
So.
I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. And they're real. I didn't pay anything
for
it.
Well, let me get this in because it doesn't happen that much, but Rachel is from Stillwater, Minnesota, and so we could have a Minnesota champ here. I think she has a good chance, although now I can't forget the other guy's name. Oh, well, whatever. But, yeah, that finale is tomorrow, so that'll
well,
be fun.
Well, I'm excited to see. Oh, it's the kid. What's his name? The one that he left and he came back, and then he left and he came back.
Is he Bobby?
Bobby! No. Yes.
Yeah.
No, yeah. The gay one. He's so cute. I love him. Like, he came out, and that's when not Jillian, well, the guy
trainer.
Yeah, and they shared a special moment, which was so amazing because
Bob?
He was coming.
Bob,
yeah. And, I mean, that's how it's a domino effect that we talked about today. I mean, that was the first time he came out on Biggest Loser. And he's been on Biggest Loser for, like, since day one, you know?
Right.
And this is how long it took him to come out. We've known, but this is how long it took him for his own self. And, I mean, it's so huge because other people might know, but it's for you to understand it for you, to claim it.
And to actually stamp it. Yeah, say it and claim it.
Yeah, to claim it. It's like a stamp. You know, the stamps went up. Stamp, forever stamp. You know,
yep.
You own it. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I cry. I'll be honest. Biggest Loser for me is my biggest, like,
I would eat ice cream, but I don't. It's it makes me cry every time, and it's so funny to think that I was on Biggest Loser.
It is, but that's one of the reasons I watch it a lot, too. It's, you know, people that do need to lose a lot of weight that are in the same situation as the contestants. I'm not in that situation, but I get so emotionally attached to their journeys, and I find myself tearing up. But the show, and Jerry, you can confirm this, the show that I am tearing up every single time is APB with Troy Dunn. Have you been watching?
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh. Absolutely love that man. I mean, he knows how to bring it and bring these people back together, and it just means so much. And I knew when I heard his name come back up that his show would be fabulous. It always is. And when he brings people back together, he tells the story in such a way. He always has the best producers, and they tell the story in such a heart-touching way that it just touches your soul. And
I know. Are you caught up? Did you see the last episode with all the siblings?
The last one I have not seen. The last one is still on my DVR.
I won't say anything, but holy moly. Just you wait. And we always are used to him bringing, you know, kids back, you know, that were adopted. But how about that episode where the girl wanted to tell the drunk driver that killed her father?
Yes, she forgave him.
And she wanted Troy to find this guy so she could tell him that she, you know, has forgiven him. And they finally found him, but not in time, because he had actually gotten a stroke and he ended up dying. But just before he died, his wife or whatever had whispered in his ear that this girl had called out, had reached out to him and wanted to forgive him. And moments later, he passed away. I mean, this show is just... oh.
It touches your heart. I mean, Troy Dunn is one amazing guy, and his shows, they went back to his original shows. I watched every episode he ever put out, and some of them I watched 3 and 4 times. I mean, I did. They're just amazing. That guy is fabulous. And to be able to do what he does, I mean, would be a dream job come true.
Really,
to be able to put people back together like he does is just a dream. And, you know, he has his own private jet and he flies across the country, and he has his family working in his office, doing the investigative work. And it's just amazing what he does.
It all started when he wasn't even in the business of doing that until his mother asked him, you know, help me find.
I don't even know what
you
guys are talking about. I'm freaking lost.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm like, la, la, la. I'm thinking about, like, Philip Saban Hammond dying, and I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. It's
no, we'll talk about it again on Thursday.
No, I wish you guys would tell me more about, like, I wish I could have, like...
He used to have a different show.
It was called The Locator.
The Locator.
He's been a guest host, a guest on Dr. Phil many times. At any rate,
and now he has a show called APB with Troy Dunn.
Oh, no, I have no problem with that. I was just... After a while, I'll be honest, I was lost, and I was just like, what happened? Like,
you'll have to watch it, Michelle. He's so
amazing.
Yeah,
I just didn't even know where it went. I was lost from the beginning. I was like, what?
You'll have to watch it. He's just an amazing guy. And
when I'm talking, Michelle, when I'm talking to Cherry, and I know she's watched it, it's kind of like me and her talking. And
oh, no, you guys had a moment. I was, like, actually stuck on what you were saying. I felt like I knew it was going on for a little bit, and then I realized This sucks.
Right,
I don't have
quickly.
2 cents to put in, and I think it sounds exciting, and I want to stop it, and we don't have enough time, but I did want to bring up Philip Heyman and, you know, goodness.
Oh, Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Philip Seymour. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh. That is so
sad.
Philip Seymour, I mean, he was just, a lot of people take him by different names and stuff. So, I mean, but you can do this. Know that he was a brilliant man and sad. Why? Oh, I mean, gosh,
I
with a needle in the arm, really? Do we have to have that much, like, can we just, like, not know that and just move on?
Yeah.
So sad. That it,
why do we have to
have
a needle in the arm, Cherry? Like, can we just move on from that? Like, needle in the arm, needle in the arm. Like, okay. We wonder how you died. The autopsy would come out in 2 days. We know. You just said it. Needle in the arm, asshole.
I know. I know.
No, we don't want to.
You know, and then
stuff like
the
this.
Kids have to hear that, and you know, it's just not necessary to share that. It's TMI.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, don't say needle arm. You know, it's like. What happened to him? Okay, we know.
Right.
Just
yeah.
It's, 40, it's just, I think, 7, right? 47?
So sad 46. When they pass that soon. I think people get too much money. They don't know what to do with
their lives. Cherry, and, he was fighting it for 23 years, and he just jumped off the bandwagon, girl. 23
really?
Years. Yep.
Wow.
23
yeah.
years.
Well, I'm
23
I'm
years,
coming
and
up.
He was off of it, like off. And he obviously, what he did was, there was something dealing with him, because for him to go to needle, when you haven't done it for 23 years, that's not how things were done back then. You know, it's like, it was like oxys. It was like stuff like, it was like more like opiates and like hallucinogenics and mushrooms and hippie. And, like, he had a needle in him, and he had just gone to rehab, like, 6 months before, and, like, before that, it was 23 years or something.
Yeah,
drugs are much different than they are today, too, and what he may have experienced 23 years ago.
Cherry. They're man-made, Cherry. They're not, like,
yeah, and they put different stuff
earth.
In them. Than, yeah, they're not. They put different stuff in them
it's
than
not
they
weed.
Used 23
years
ago. It's
not marijuana. Yeah.
And what he experienced 23 years ago certainly isn't what's on the streets today. And so that may be exactly why he's where he is today, because he may have thought he was doing the same thing he was doing 23 years ago, and it's certainly not the same. And, you know, everything is manufactured today, manufactured in people's houses and bathrooms and crazy icky places,
yeah.
And they put different stuff in them that you shouldn't. I mean, it's just gross, and you know, a lot of it's much stronger than it used to be. A lot of it's, I don't know, it's just, you don't need to be doing that stuff. And
you're exactly right, and you know, it's kind of scary for me, because I'm not worried, but you know, come this June I'll have 27 years, and when you say you had that much time, you never can think that you're okay doing that stuff. So I also am real curious if anybody is watching Wahlburgers.
I am.
I am not. I heard about it, but I'm not watching it.
Okay.
I am.
Anyway.
Mama Wahlberger is too cute for words.
Alma.
And all three of those boys are Mama's boys.
Yeah. Anyway.
I can't pick a favorite yet.
Well, we are going to be closing down the show soon.
Yep.
Paul, thank you so much for coming on. We're so excited that you got able to make it back for at least a little bit of the show. Yay.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you,
I know
Paul,
we talked about. I know we talked about a couple of shows coming up. I have to say 2 weeks from tonight will be the 5-year anniversary of the Rad Reality Show.
Yeah. Oh,
awesome.
Exciting. And, Paul, your thoughts on the Super Bowl?
Oh, my God. It was pretty bad. I mean, I was kind of pulling for the Seahawks, so that made it okay, but I hate when it's non-competitive like that. And, yeah, it was weird.
Absolutely. And I'm happy that Peyton lost, the bitch he is. And Wes Welker once again came up with another loss in the Super Bowl. Thank you. And Peyton, another record for you is the quickest scored upon in a Super Bowl game by a safety, the first freaking play.
I saw a really interesting stat, Michelle, that in the history of the NFL, there has never been a score 43-8, not just in playoffs, ever.
Well, I'm just excited that Peyton Manning sucked ass, and yay. And all I know is that I think Peyton Manning tried to call Brady a few times, but Brady didn't answer. It was a great, I guess I wouldn't say great because I'm very unhappy, but great outcome. And once again, thanks, Paul and Cherry and Laura, Miss Moret, who called in. Fabulous. Love her. And next week, it could be McCray Cray up in here, Cherry.
Michelle,
could
did you
be?
Happen to hear that McCray and Amanda broke up?
I did. And you know what? I think that, number one, I'm going to say this. I think whatever is the best decision for them, God bless them. I think that, number two, them making it out there on Front Street, God bless them. I think that's huge, and I think that was very important. I think that, number three, we knew it was going to go 50-50,
right.
And I loved McCray, and I loved Amanda.
Pick up when we don't have time?
I'm sorry. I just want to know if she had heard it.
Okay.
Yep, I did. So maybe it could be McCray Cray up in here next week.
We'll let you everyone know
donate,
soon.
Donate. Save a life. Save two. Save three. Save four. Go. Go. Go donate.
Michelle's Facebook page.
Go,
it's on
go,
our Twitter.
Donate. Go, donate. Breast cancer, any cancer. You guys, go donate. We love you. Love you, Charlie.
I'm going to close the show with Ron, as I always do. Thank you all for coming to the show tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Make sure you come and join us on Thursday night for the Reality Roundtable at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Here's Ron to close the show. God bless everyone.
Oh.
Take care.
So thank you guys.
Bye, guys.
For stopping in.
Bye.
I do want to say some other stuff real quick. I was thinking about, like, today, about how much we've had so many people that have been faithful callers to our show. But I thank everyone that has been part of the show and is still part of the show. I want to say thank you to you guys. And the reality of people that, you know, I do this for you guys, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I'm going to go ahead and close it off tonight, and I appreciate everyone.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
God bless everyone. Take care. Have a great weekend. Good night.